And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." In the name of Jesus, amen. When I was a child, I was afraid of many things: darkness, being alone, and even Chuck E. Cheese, you know, the mouse. I guess you can consider that one a dramatic fear, but other times, they were just quiet ones. The sense that something could go wrong and no one would be there to stop it. You see, even if you're safe, you can still be afraid. You can also be loved and still lie awake. That is why the words "fear not" in the gospel do not sound naive or unrealistic. They sound necessary. Fear does not belong only to the reckless or the faithless. It belongs to children, to ordinary people in the dark. This "fear not," it is the most repeated command in Scripture. But not because fear is rare, but because it is constant. Fear is not the exception or exemption to human life. Fear is a part of it. The shepherds in the field were not usually anxious men. They were ordinary men doing ordinary work on an ordinary night. But into that very ordinary night, God speaks. He speaks in ordinary fear, too. And at least from my perspective, it's hard to imagine that at least one of the shepherds did not pee their pants at that encounter that took place upon them that night. Hopefully, when they went to the stable, that there was enough swaddling clothes to help that one guy try to figure it out, right? But Christmas does not deny fear. It answers it. An angel appears. He does not begin by telling the shepherds to rejoice. He begins by telling them not to fear. And that's because God addresses what grips the heart before he announces what saves the heart. Say that again. God addresses what grips the heart before he announces what saves the heart. The gospel does not begin with our joy, but with God calming sinners who know they are small, exposed, and unworthy. As the shepherds were keeping watch by night, the world slept. And you know, fear is often loudest in the dark, when distractions fade and thoughts grow heavy. And it is there, the fields, in the night, in the quiet, that God sends news. Fear is not canceled by effort or maturity or time. It is canceled by news, by something that has happened. The announcing angel does not say, "Fear not, everything will be fine." He says, "Fear not, for unto you is born a Savior." Fear is not removed by the circumstances changing, but by Christ entering them. And Christmas does not promise safety. It promises salvation. So, these words are first spoken to shepherds, men on the margins, not the powerful, not the prepared. And if the gospel can be spoken into their fear, then it is spoken into ours. The gospel always meets people where fear already lives. As fear grips, the gospel loosens the tightrope. And the angel also does not leave the shepherds with a command alone. He gives them a sign. Not a throne, not a weapon, not a miracle that overwhelms the senses, but a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. The night's still dark. Rome is still in power. The shepherds are still poor, exposed, and forgotten. So what has changed? What has changed is God has acted. And this is how God answers fear. Not by overpowering it, but by entering it. Fear expects God to come as a threat. The gospel reveals God coming as a gift. Because most of our fear is quiet and constant. fear of sin, fear of judgment, fear of death, fear that we are not enough. And to those constants, the Lord wants you to know, unto you is born a Savior. Not a life coach, not an example, not a temporary comfort, but a Savior, because you cannot save yourself. Fear is not canceled by effort or maturity or time. It is canceled by news, by something that has happened. And that is why the heavenly hosts then sing. They cannot speak a low cadence. They must harmonize with peace. The choir comes on Christmas night to calm the hearts. And notice also that peace does not come from our response to the news. Peace comes from what the news declares. God has reconciled us to himself in this child. The child in the manger will grow. He will carry our fear all the way to the cross. He will step into the deepest darkness, death itself, and then he will rise out of it. Yes, I know, fear still speaks loudly in this world, and you know this as well. We live in that tension, the tension of it, but it does not speak last. Which means Christmas Eve is not a retreat from reality, it is the invitation of reality by grace. So when the angels say, "Fear not," that angel is not asking the shepherds to feel differently. No, he is announcing that everything is different, whether they feel it or not. And tonight, it's not a celebration of an idea or a feeling or a tradition. Tonight is the eve of a birth, a real child laid in a real manger, born into a world where fear is still very much alive. Fear is not canceled by effort or maturity or time. It is canceled by news, by something that has happened. The Savior has entered the darkness. God has come near. And tonight the Savior who was announced is the Savior who comes. Not in glory, not with angels, but he comes hidden. Tonight he comes hidden under bread and wine. The angel said, "Fear not, for unto you is born a Savior." And tonight that same Savior is given to you. Not symbolically, not emotionally, but truly. As true as the night is dark, and as true as we need light to get through it. God does answer fear, but not by explaining it away, but by giving his Son. Fear does not disappear because our lives are suddenly safe. It dissipates and begins to disappear because Christ places himself, even tonight, into our very hands, into our mouths, into our very bodies. Christmas Eve here announces that something is happening. Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? Something is happening. The news has come. And it is truly good, right, and salutary that we join the shepherds in the field, as marginal and minuscule as we are. Behold this good news this night, the news of the Christ child born for you. Because fear is not canceled by effort or maturity or time. It is canceled by news, by something that has happened. And this happening remits heavenly praise. Glory to God in the highest. But notice, too, in that hymn of praise, it also says, "and on earth," because something has happened on earth. That's where we're at, and that's where Jesus came to. That's why the angel's announcement was also written down for you. See, Luke, at the beginning of his gospel, writes that he has followed closely the word delivered to him by the ministers of the word, and to write them in an orderly account. And it is that same orderly word that speaks to you. Fear not, the Savior is here. Fear not, the Savior is born. And does the shepherd say, "All right, let's get back to the flocks." Is that what they do after this big thing that happened? And like I said, the guy's probably peed his pants. No, That's not what he says. Let's get back to work. They're going to go somewhere. They're going to go see this thing that has happened. They say, let's go to the one born of the flock, the one that they will get to know as the Lamb, because the Lord has made it known. And then it says, they then made it known all that had been told to them. The shepherds became preachers that night to Mary and Joseph in the barn. And now, fear not. Treasure these things in your heart. Fear is not canceled by effort or maturity or time. It is canceled by news, by something that has happened. The Savior has been born. The Savior is here. The Savior is Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. Be blessed.